If I build good relationships with people, people I want to do business with, and people who want to do business with me, there's so much opportunity to partner on all these deals. So I don't have to have a single dollar in my bank account. All I have to have is a good pipeline of deals.
Do you love your job, but want other investment options than your company's 401k and trying to pick stocks? If so, you've come to the right place. In this podcast, you will get actionable information for your passive real estate investment journey. Welcome back to another episode of Work Hard, Invest Harder podcast. Here's your host, Justin Dixon.
All right, Elliot, man, welcome to the podcast. Happy to have you on, man.
Thank you for having me, Justin.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a lot of fun. So why don't you get kicked off here? Just give everybody kind of a quick intro of who you are and what you're kind of doing in the real estate world.
Sure. My name is Elliot Elias, and more than anything, I'm a professional opportunist. So what does that mean? It means where there's opportunity, I will find a way to make money. And for me, that is real estate right now.
Got it. So what type of real estate are you seeing opportunity in?
Single family for me right now, just anyone in distress. So that's primarily what I target, is people who are either in foreclosure, probates, anyone who needs to sell, not wants to sell, will most likely be getting a call from me. That's the type of property I like to purchase.
And so there's a couple things there I want to dig into. How are you finding these people? Yeah, let's start there.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this is all public information. To get a probate data, I pay $85 a month, and if you guys want, I can share the list after this podcast, but you pick your county and you can get data, and it's all public, right? So people who go into foreclosure, who've missed payments on their bank, it's public data. People who have died and need to sell, public data. So there's different ways to get different types of data, but it's so easily accessible.
Got it. So once you have the data, I guess, what's your kind of end game? Obviously, it's to acquire the property, right? So if I'm late on my payment and you reach out to me, are you calling me? Do you have VAs? Like, how is your business kind of set up?
Yeah, it used to be me calling. I mean, I was calling like 300, 400 people a day. But now I realize I got other things to do, right? More time, bigger problems. So now I have a full-time cold caller. He's calling right now, actually. And he's calling this list, and his only job is to get him their hand raised and say, okay, he's ready or she's ready to speak to Elliot. Elliot's going to call him and close the deal.
Got it. So then your job to close that deal, and then are you buying these things in cash? And then are you flipping them, wholesaling them, buy and hold? Like, what's your strategy?
I can answer all those questions and with one answer. I mean, it depends on the motivation. Some people want to stay in the house. Some people, like, let's say foreclosures. My goal is to get someone who's locked in a really good interest rate. So I'm sure you know, the last 5 years, interest rates have been ridiculously low. Probably not going to see that again. Or if we do, I don't know when it's going to be. But here's what I can do. I can take advantage of the fact that these people have such low interest rates without even assuming their loans. So let's say, I'll give you one example. Someone's under foreclosure, and let's say they owe $30K to the bank in back payments. They haven't paid in 2 years. There was a forbearance, right? Now it's due. Now it's going to foreclose on Tuesday. Instead of me paying it off cash, I'm going to say, look, I like your interest rate. Let's say they have a really good interest rate. It has a little bit of equity. I'll give you $5,000. I'll take over your loan. The loan stays in your name. I'm going to start making the payments. I deed the property in my name, and you just avoided a foreclosure completely, and you're not going to ruin your life from a foreclosure. So here's what I can propose to you. I'm not going to give you all the cash. I'm going to take over your loan. I'm going to give you some money so you can go rent a place, do whatever you want after. And I'm going to go ahead in the back and either Airbnb or rent the property out.
Got it. So you're essentially paying them $5,000 to take over their kind of problem, if you will, their house. And they're going to then have that money to then move to someplace else. And you will, you know, take over paying it. But then also you'll obviously try to rent that or do an Airbnb.
Absolutely.
Got it. So, and I think this is not a world that I live in. So I'm more or less fishing for information here. But if somebody would foreclose, that's not great for like a credit perspective or their ability to buy or rent in the future, right? Like, you are solving a problem that they've got themselves into, I think, right?
Once you get into foreclosure, your credit's already ruined. So, I mean, foreclosure is just icing on the cake. And I mean, I'll come in and I'll just be super honest. It's not a pitch. It's not a sales pitch at all. It's like, hey, you got yourself in this situation. Let's be honest. This is the best scenario. And you could go ahead and go with my competition, but guess what? They're wholesalers. I'm going to close on your property. And there's so many wholesalers, man. They just put this stuff on track and they're playing with people's lives. Okay. I just tell them, look, you need testimonials, whatever it is. It's not the ideal scenario, right? You're not going to access all your equity, but I will take you out of foreclosure. And I've had scenarios where I let them rent my properties out.
Can stay there and figure it out.
Man, it's so much BS. Like, we got to find these people jobs. We got to get their life in order again. Why haven't you done this, this and that? So it is a headache for sure. You could say it's cheap because I'm only paying $5,000, but it's weeks of just holding their hand to get back on their feet.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And then, so you talked a little bit about you're buying county lists, I guess. Where are you seeing opportunity now? You're in Texas, you're here in Austin where I live. Next time we'll have to do this in person, but I guess, where are you seeing opportunity now?
Anywhere. I mean, people are dying everywhere. People are behind on their payments everywhere. People are behind in taxes everywhere. I could pick any county in the US and do the same thing I do. Okay. But I love Austin because I feel like it is the best market on earth. And I'm so lucky to be here and to be able to invest here in Austin, Texas.
Got it. And I guess, are you just generally in Austin or are you kind of also looking kind of outskirts of the city and Georgetown and all these other kind of areas? Or are you literally having your cold caller call every county in Austin?
Every county. Well, not every county. We do 2 to 3 counties. We want to stay small, right? I do feel like opportunity is lost when you try to eat too much, right?
Yeah.
Like, eat what's in front of you until we can grow. So right now I'm primarily in Bell County and city of Austin. So Bell County, if you don't know, is an hour north of Austin.
Okay.
It holds cities like Killeen, Temple, and Coppers Cove. And basically, it's run by the military town. It has one of the largest military bases on earth. So
yeah, Killeen's a massive military presence for sure.
It's crazy. And that's not why I invest there. I invest there because the bridge is going to be gapped, right? I-35 goes straight through Killeen, Texas. So I'm young, I'm 25. By the time I'm 35, hopefully the fish turn into beautiful things.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. If you think about what Dallas and Fort Worth have done over the last 20 years or so of just kind of grown together, you're already seeing that between Austin and San Antonio. And you're obviously also seeing that between Waco, which is what, about an hour and a half or so north of Austin. You're already starting to see that 35 corridor start to get more businesses pushed out farther north, Georgetown, to all of that. So it's definitely interesting. I'm kind of curious about the Airbnb stuff. So other than renting back to the tenant, right, for a few months so they can kind of get some things together to kind of move out, you're then transitioning them into Airbnbs or short-term rentals. So how is that market up there in Bell County, up in kind of the Killeen Temple area from a short-term rental perspective?
Surprisingly good. The fact that it has one of the largest military bases on earth holds not only soldiers, but the families of soldiers. Like, they come and they have to visit, right? People come, it's primarily driven by the military. So it's not a destination. I'm not going to go to Killeen, Texas on vacation. I never would do that. But I will go to visit my cousin who's in the military, who's serving.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's so many people up there. Airbnbs are not even allowed, right? It's kind of like Austin. It's taboo in the city of Austin, but people still do it. But it's not as strict in Killeen, right? So people do it, and hotels are crap up there. And people just need housing. So there's a market for sure.
Yeah. I guess, so how long have you been doing this? You said you're 25. I think you said, obviously, started your real estate journey early, which is great. I wish I would have started when I was your age or younger. But I guess, how do you think about kind of, when did you get started in this? And kind of maybe started a little bit about your origin story of kind of growing up. And then how did you get attached to real estate?
Absolutely. I mean, I quit my job, my W-2 job, which is why I initially moved to Austin to pursue civil engineering. So April 14th, I said, screw it. I'm going to be all in real estate. If I can't bet on myself, I can't bet on anything. So I bought my first property. I didn't save up too much money. I had a down payment to take out a hard money loan, put down, I think, $6,000 on a project.
Okay.
And I just kept recycling that money up until I built up enough cash to be able to do my own projects. And now, going back to the question before, how am I funding these? I don't need money to fund deals. Like everyone, and I'm sure you know this, Justin, everyone has money. Everyone and their mom has money, but no one has a good deal. So right now the value is in the deal. I'm building a machine essentially to where I can dish out great deals. Yeah. And if I build good relationships with people, people I want to do business with and people who want to do business with me, there's so much opportunity to partner on all these deals. So I don't have to have a single dollar in my bank account. All I have to have is a good pipeline of deals.
Interesting. No, I definitely want to dig into that because a lot of people that listen to this podcast are hardworking, typically W-2 employees, or maybe they're a business owner and they make good money, but they're always looking for different options for places to put their cash. So before we jump into that, let's take a quick sponsor break. Be right back.
Whether you're in a job you love or hate, building a financial foundation is important. This foundation can support you by providing passive income, stability in an uncertain economy, or the launching pad for you to start your own business. Great Venture Capital helps busy professionals invest in commercial real estate to build passive income streams, grow wealth, and take advantage of tax benefits. If you'd like to learn more, check us out at greatventurecapital.com or send an email to justin@greatventurecapital.com.
All right, we are back on the Work Hard, Invest Harder podcast with Elliot. Before the break, we were talking about how you're kind of not necessarily needing to fund deals. You talked about people have money, and if you bring a good deal, you'll be able to figure that out. I'm kind of curious about a W-2 employee, if they want to get started in real estate, maybe they want to start how you started, right? You talked about a BRRRR. So I've had somebody else on that talks about BRRRR. So maybe first of all, give an example of what a BRRRR means, right? It's an acronym. So talk about that. And then they want to kind of get into their first deal in the same manner that you did. Maybe explain about that process. That'd be helpful.
It all starts with a deal. You have to buy the deal at least 30% under market value to be able to execute a BRRRR minus repair. So what is a BRRRR? It's B-R-R-R-R. So it's buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and repeat. And the goal is what your all-in cost is at least 70 or at most 75% of what the ARV is. I bought this property for $80,000. I put $15,000 into it. Okay. I'm all at $95,000. The property appraised for $160,000. So after my all-in costs are $95,000, instead of selling it and recapturing that whatever $60,000, $70,000 equity, yeah, I tout a loan and refinance it. And now I get $122,000 from the bank tax-free. And guess what? I still own the property and I put a tenant in there and they're paying my mortgage. So it's not a way to build capital. It's a way to build wealth.
Yeah, no, I think that's really interesting. And so you essentially found this house. I guess let's just use that deal as an example. How did you find that property?
I was just cold calling realtors. I mean, I was broke and I had no money and I quit my job, right? I was an engineer. I was doing great. And then my income stopped and I still had rent. I had a girlfriend, so she was expensive too, right? So, right. You know, I didn't want to tell her, hey, baby, things are dry, right? You know, right, I got to grind. So the only thing I could do for free is essentially call realtors. And I still call realtors. So I think I called every single realtor in Bell County. Half of them got sick of me. One of them found me a deal and she was just listing this property. It was actually a property her grandmother died and she was just too emotional to negotiate or anything. I said, hey, I'll buy it, $80,000. I still feel like I overpaid for that property, but it was a good BRRRR. And by the way, you don't have to hit a home run in your first deal. Yeah. Even lose money in your first deal, guess what? The knowledge you gain from that will make you so much money.
It's all about getting the experience, right? And that can come from a success. Like obviously it sounds like that first deal was a big success. You were all in at 95 grand, you pulled out 120 and now you can go put that money into another deal. So velocity of capital was on your side in that respect that you could have a home run. And so are you still doing the BRRRR method on other properties or are you still just focusing on, hey, let me find these foreclosure or kind of pre-foreclosure type homes. And then, like you said, do short-term rentals and things like that.
My main goal right now is cash flow, especially when we're approaching right now, I think it's May 2023, we're approaching probably a recessionary environment here in the near future. So I do want cash flow to save me and to be the lifeline of my business for whatever happens, okay? And I am being as aggressive as I can in this kind of market right now. I've never spent more money on marketing. I've never been outbound more than right now because I truly feel like now is the best opportunity to buy real estate. So cash flow is the answer to that question.
Yeah, no, being in this high inflationary market and high interest rates, my wife and I just bought a house last July. I kind of wish we were buying a house now because what's the old saying? You marry the house and you date the rate, right? And eventually the rates will go down and then you have a house that's worth more than what you paid for. So no, I completely agree. I focus mainly on the commercial side, multifamily, and I completely agree that there are always deals in every market. And right now, if you can find a deal that works, whether it's single family or multifamily, you know, it should be a really good deal, especially because to your point, we're going to probably fall into a recession for a bit. And then the only way to get out of a recession is to drop interest rates. And that's what we'll kind of live in that cycle for a while. I guess if you had to start over, right, I'm trying to think about the audience here and how they could get started because sometimes they don't want to do what you did, pull the ripcord and quit a job that you were probably making decent money at. Maybe they want to take a little bit less of a direct route and they want to invest passively or start this on the side. Like, how do you think if you were in a different mindset back then and said, hey, let me dip my toe in the water while I still have this engineering job, how would you do it? And maybe what advice would you kind of give to somebody that was in maybe in your position now to kind of make that transition?
If I was someone who was a little bit skeptical, right, maybe I had a family. And by the way, the only reason I was able to do this is because I'm single. Some people have a lot of mouths to feed at all times, right? So I was lucky that I wasn't in that position. I could go all in. But if I were that person who was a little bit more less risk averse and wanted to take a safer route and had cash, I would build one great relationship with someone who is boots on ground every single day doing this. Don't try to call as many people as possible. Yeah. Don't shop around. Find one person you can grow with who's hungry and motivated. If I had someone who was just basically a bank account for me at the beginning and can grow with me till right now, they would have made a lot of money. Okay. Yeah. And I grew a little bit slower just because I didn't have that accessible bank account. And before you do business with anyone, you got to date before you marry, of course.
Yeah.
But find someone who is doing this and is all in. And there's so many people out there, but make sure they have a good track record and invest in their projects, invest in the down payment, still borrow hard money, but let them borrow the down payment. So you guys can do so many projects together. Let the other person handle it. You stay on your job and still make the returns 50-50, and people will take that all day.
Yeah, I don't know who said it, but it's like you don't have to have all three things. You don't have to have money, experience, and time, right? If you only have two of those, like you had time and hustle, right? So you were building your experience, but you didn't have the money. If you found a money person that they didn't have the time and the experience, you guys could partner up and you would be the boots on the ground. You would be the one doing all the hustle. They would be the one helping to fund these deals and you're both going to win, right? So some people like you just kind of jumped right in. But if you had that financial backing, you probably would be farther. I guess, would you say that you'd be farther than you are right now if you had like a money bag, I guess, if you will?
Justin, I have 13 deals I can close on right now if I had the money to.
Yeah.
And if that says anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, that's like I said, like ideally you'd have all three, right? If you had time, money, and the knowledge, but it sounds like you have the time and the experience and you just need to work with people that have the capital to deploy, which is all the more reason to have a look at your background and all of that. I guess as you think about kind of the recording this in May 23, what do you think the rest of this year is going to look like from where you sit in the kind of single family, I'm looking for distress kind of space? Do you think it's going to get better for you or you think it's going to stay kind of where it is right now?
I think it's going to get worse. I think people are just excited now just because historically May is like the best year to sell real estate. You get multiple offers, this and that, right? I think it's going to continue to go down. I think the they raise interest rates today?
Yeah, they just raised a quarter point, but I think they said they're going to pause. This is going to be kind of the pause point after this raise. So theoretically, there could be a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel for uncertainty perspective. We also don't know what's going to happen to inflation. It has started to ease, but it's still not anywhere near where it wanted to be, right? So time will tell. But yes, I think today they announced that they raised a quarter point and it's going to be a pause for a bit. You know, I guess is welcome to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, we printed way too much money and interest rates were way too low and forbearance went on for too long. I mean, you may not see it on the open market, but me being on the off market, there are way too many people who are behind on their payments. And I see it all the time, man. I mean, people call me 3 days before their foreclosure. And there's only one way to take someone out of a foreclosure 3 days before, and it's to file for bankruptcy. So,
oh, really?
I'm like, hey, like, if you really want to do this, you got to take the course. You have to file for bankruptcy. There is no other way to do this. And I tell them, like, it's better than a foreclosure, but it still sucks.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I guess let's think about kind of your future and your company as you grow. You have a cold caller right now. Where do you see your business going?
Well, hopefully, if things continue to remain like this, not crazy, not multiple offers, not as much competition, I believe I can be at 1,000 houses in 10 years. Maybe it's not each structure alone. Maybe it's one building that's 1,000 units. I mean, I'd love focusing on things that will take less of my time. So right now, real estate is my job. I need it to be an investment. And what does that mean? It's just right now in my head is probably a 30-man job.
Yeah.
So I have to kind of hire slowly and delegate until I can be an investor and stop being this hustle 14 hours a day type person. So I want to make, I think, 100K a month in real estate. And it's possible.
Yeah.
It does. It takes a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice.
Real estate is definitely not a get-rich-quick kind of game, but it's a fun game to play for sure, regardless of what asset class you're in, whether it's commercial multifamily or single family or Airbnb, whatever it is. There's a lot of power in the ability to generate cash flow, right? But also from a wealth creation standpoint and generational wealth, especially if you're building your portfolio, not just for yourself, but for your future families and their families and all that fun stuff. It's kind of the way to go. And I guess, are you going to start to expand outside of the Bell County in Austin, or are you going to really just your bread and butter, or are you going to kind of start to expand outside of this general region?
I'd like to buy everywhere. I mean, my company, Elias Holdings, I'd like it to be in every state, every country, Dubai, Lebanon, Thailand. I mean, I want to own real estate everywhere. And like I said, I'm a professional opportunist. So if there's opportunity, I'm going to go. But I'm not going to do it in a way to where I expand to different markets and then I inhibit myself with what I'm doing right now, right?
Crawl, walk, run, right? You don't want to expand too fast and take too much of a scattergun approach. You got to go to what you're good at and then expand outside of that general market. So no, that makes sense. No, this has been great, man. I really appreciate the time. I want to kind of transition into kind of the final three questions that I ask every guest on the podcast. So I guess what's the one piece of advice that got you started or helped you on your real estate journey?
Fearlessness and self-belief. Those two things will get you very far.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. What is your favorite real estate or business book that you're into right now?
Right now, I just finished a book called Relentless by Tim Grover, a real estate book. This is the first real estate book I read, was the book on flipping houses. It was an excellent book. It went over everything.
Yeah. I mean, the Bigger Pockets resource ecosystem is massively helpful. That's kind of how I got started in just kind of listening to the podcast and on the forums. And I've got probably two or three of their books that they've put out. If you're getting started in real estate and want to kind of have a one-stop shop for all of the things that you need to know, biggerpockets.com is definitely a massive, I'm not a sponsor, but definitely a massive place to start for sure. And so last question is, if you hit your financial freedom number, meaning you can live an amazing life just off of your passive income from real estate, what would you do?
I'd be eating tacos and drinking margaritas.
So not to everybody that I ask that question, they're always like, well, I would still do what I'm doing. I'd still do real estate and all this stuff. But you took the exact opposite approach. And probably the approach that I would probably take is just chill out for a bit, right? At least for a couple of months and get out of the hustle.
Look, you can't do this for so long and then just stop. Like, to invest in real estate full time, you have to love it. You have to love pressure and the work and all that stuff. But it can't be a 24/7 thing. I'm probably going to find something else that's just as difficult or bigger, right? But for now, man, tacos and margaritas.
No, that's fair. Not a bad place to start for sure. But no, Elliot, man, I really appreciate you being on the pod. A lot of good information, especially because we haven't had really anybody that does a lot of this kind of single family going after some kind of foreclosure space. So definitely appreciate the context for sure. And really happy to have you on the pod, man.
Thank you for having me, brother. I love to see what you're doing. And when we first met, you didn't have a podcast. I was like, you know what, man? The way this guy asks greatest questions, I feel.
I have a recruiting business and I've been doing that for 16 years. So I interview people literally all day, every day. So now I have a microphone and a Zoom up and then I'm doing it about real estate. So I appreciate the feedback. And yeah, let's grab a taco and a margarita sometimes in Austin.
Let's do it, man.
Awesome. Well, I hope everybody took something away from that episode. I've got another one dropping soon, so keep listening.
I hope you got value out of this episode of the Work Hard, Invest Harder podcast, your one-stop shop for education on how you can continue to work hard in your career and have different options to invest even harder. If you took anything away from this episode, please like and comment. I read every comment as it helps me serve you better. Make sure to subscribe and hit the notification bell. That way, you won't miss out on more valuable content. If you're watching this video, it means that you want to grow your passive real estate portfolio. The easiest way to do that is to join our investor club by heading to greatventurecapital.com/invest. The link is in the show notes. See you on the next episode.